WXYZ News Talk time is 7:12. We are talking with G. Robert Blakey, the author of the book titled The Plot to Kill the President, and his theory is that organized crime was behind the assassination of John F. Kennedy. I don't know whether I said that earlier on. Did I say that yet?
Yes, I think you did.
Okay, I'm glad. I don't want to leave our listeners more confused than I thought they might be in the first place. But I think one of the important bits of information or facts of history we have to talk about here is why not only the investigations were launched into the assassinations of Kennedy and Dr. Martin Luther King, but how you got involved and where you were in your thoughts at that time. Go ahead.
I was a professor of law at the Cornell Law School, and the furthest thing from my mind was the death of President Kennedy or the death of Martin Luther King. Like most Americans, I had accepted the official versions that each died as a result of the acts of single assassins.
Well, you had special reason to accept the Warren Commission report because you knew a lot of those people, right?
True. A lot of the guys who had worked with me in the Department of Justice under Attorney General Robert Kennedy were staff counsel. I read the Warren Commission's report in 1964, saw the hallmarks of their craftsmanship, accepted it, and went on about my business.
Like most other Americans, assuming that with a panel as respected as those people, in fact, President Ford was on that panel.
That's correct.
Yeah.
He was a congressman at that time.
Yes. We mostly accepted that as fact.
And I think that there's a substantial number of very prominent people who still do, particularly people who have leadership positions in the media.
And that's what we need, that's what you need, I would think, is to convince them that you have valid evidence to the contrary. Now, let's jump right to the evidence, because so many people have talked about this. I think some people out there are probably tired of hearing about it. What is the evidence that you would cite right now that suggests that organized crime was behind the assassination?
Okay, well, you have to start with different things. You have to start with what happened in the plaza first. And we reanalyzed the events in the plaza, looking at the scientific evidence and looking at the ear witness and eyewitness testimony. The principal difference between the Select Committee of Assassinations and the Warren Commission was a tape recording that we found of the sounds of the assassination. And that tape recording indicated that there were four shots, not three, and they came from two directions, both the Texas School Book Depository, where Lee Harvey Oswald was, and from a so-called grassy knoll area to the right in front of the president.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our conclusion that there was a conspiracy does not simply rest on that tape. In fact, there were some 20 witnesses in the plaza who said that they heard or saw something around the plaza, the knoll, that made them think that gunfire had come from that direction. And a couple of witnesses actually said they heard the shots from both directions. So we have both physical evidence, the tape, and ear witness and eyewitness testimony. So what's really different about the Select Committee assassinations and the Warren Commission is we start from a premise based on what happened in the plaza that there was a conspiracy. The problem then for you, and I might say, is we know the fact of conspiracy with the highest degree of confidence. In fact, we know it better than we know that Lee Harvey Oswald was one of the conspirators.
We, being the members of the committee, now know that there was a conspiracy.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. The committee found that there was a 95% probability that that shot originated from the grassy knoll. And that's really beyond a reasonable doubt. Two shooters in the plaza, conspiracy. Now that the outstanding question then becomes is what was the nature, the color, the shape of that conspiracy?
And who was behind it?
That's it. Now, there are a number of suspects, and there are a number of theories. And what Dick Billings and I tried to do in the plot to kill the president was to take each of the major theories and ask how well did it fit the facts as a whole. And when we came finally to say that we thought the mob did it, what I'll tell you is that it's the best single scenario for the events of the assassination.
Okay, now do me a favor, for the sake of time,
sure,
which is going to run away from us here, give me a quick overview overview of that scenario, if you can do that, an overview of a scenario.
Goes down very quickly. Rosetta Stone, for the facts of the assassination as to its character, is that Lee Harvey Oswald was shot by Jack Ruby within 48 hours of his assassination of the president.
Mm-hmm.
That event is, in my judgment, what shapes, colors, and determines the nature of the conspiracy that killed Kennedy. Look to Lee Harvey Oswald's associations, look to Jack Ruby's associations, and you'll find a common link with major organized crime figures. Jack Ruby has all the earmarks of an organized crime hitman.
Okay, we'll talk about him specifically a little bit later, but why would the mob want to kill Kennedy?
That, again, is straightforward. One of the things that our committee had access to that the Warren Commission did not were tape-recorded conversations of major members of organized crime in which they discussed the Kennedy administration, the enormous pressure that had been put on them by Bobby Kennedy's investigation and prosecution of their major leaders. They discussed John Kennedy's responsibility for it and discussed whether or not to kill him. So what you have now from their mouths established, again, I think beyond a reasonable doubt, is the character of the mob figures, their motivation, and when you link that then to the two shooters in the plaza, one of whom is subsequently executed by a man that has all the earmarks of a hitman for organized crime, and I think you have, in a nutshell, the essence of the argument of the plot to kill the president.
Your book gives a very interesting bit of background on Jack Ruby, and I do want to get into that later on, but there were, which would make one believe that he might well have been a hitman for the mafia. But there are some other reasons, I think, that you point to in your book that maybe the mafia wanted to off Kennedy, and some for rather trivial. I mean, a woman involved.
Well, one of the things that we had to face was the feeling, and I think it's not unjustifiable, that on the whole, organized crime figures have not struck out at public officials.
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked for something in Jack Kennedy's background to see if there was, he had given them any reason to take the action that they did. And we found three things. One, the mob contributed substantially, financially, to the 1960 election. Number two, in Chicago, they contributed substantially to his election by vote fraud in Cook County. And three, and as distasteful as this is to say it, there's every indication that they supplied President Kennedy with a young woman by the name of Judith Campbell.
Yeah. Well, there is more to this, listeners, and what I'm interested in is whether or not you think that we have ever approached the truth of what happened to John F. Kennedy. We have a gentleman here who, again, was involved with the Kennedy administration under Robert F. Kennedy in the Justice Department at the time of the assassination. He was called back into action in 1976 to be the chief counsel of the House Select Committee on Assassinations, looking into the Kennedy and Martin Luther King assassinations, and he has come up with a new theory, not really a new theory, but he has confirmed a lingering theory, a lingering suspicion that the mob was involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. WXYZ toll lines are open right now for Southfield and the North and Northeast cities, including East Detroit, Warren, Centerline, Sterling Heights, and Rochester at 353-TALK. So phone 353-TALK and save when you talk to me at WXYZ.
There's a new winner in Detroit.
Talk to me.
A radio station that's captured the city's imagination.
Talk to me.
AM radio is hot, and WXYZ News Talk is why.
Talk to me.
WXYZ News Talk Radio, now one of the three most listened to stations in town.
Talk to me.
We had to pass 15 other radio stations to get here, but get here we did, and we're still moving up.
Talk to me.
WXYZ News Talk Radio 1270, Detroit's Talk to Me station, is talking to you.
WXYZ News Talk time is 7:21. We are talking with G. Robert Blakey, author, co-author of the book, The Plot to Kill the President. Bob?
Sure.
Let me do this because we've got lots of people waiting to talk. I want to just, from your book, summarize the reasons that you said that might suggest that the mob killed Kennedy, or the motivation they might have had. One, Kennedy and his younger brother Bobby had mounted the most effective campaign ever to investigate and to pursue the mafia. Number two was that the Kennedy organization, administration, I'm sorry, was on the threshold of breaking some new ground in that effort. And then John Kennedy had become personally hated, as your cover says, because the mafia had really delivered Cook County in Chicago to him, or in Illinois, and then it looked like Kennedy turned around and didn't appreciate that. He was going to investigate him and come down hard on them anyway. And then,
he had taken, to put it bluntly, their money, their votes, and their women, and had returned gratitude, but an unprecedented series of criminal investigations and prosecutions. And I think that combination is what made the assassination thinkable for them, and ultimately produced the tragedy in Dallas.
It was like he just heaped ingratitude upon ingratitude in regard to them.
I think, Tim, I suggest to you that the President Kennedy knew the significance of what he did.
Yes, some of it was innocent.
I think he has no idea where the money came from, and I think he probably knew that the votes were a little kinky in Cook County. But the woman, for example, when he found out what Judith Campbell's background was, he immediately broke off with her.
And also Frank Sinatra, who introduced her to him.
That's correct. Frank Sinatra had introduced Judith Campbell to the president, and when he found out what Judith Campbell's background was, he immediately cut off both of them.
So then the mob somehow, some way, plotted to get President Kennedy, and they did it through a rather
nondescript young man in New Orleans and Dallas.
Yes.
Harvey Oswald.
Yeah, who thought, in fact, that he was pursuing other goals.
He probably believed that when he acted, he was acting in behalf of Castro's Cuba.
Well, I've got lots of my own questions, but we got folks that I just can't keep waiting any longer, so let me invite our listeners to participate in this conversation. Hang on, Doctor. WXYZ News Talk, you're on with Dr. Blakey.
Good evening, Buzz. This is William from Detroit.
Yeah, Will.
I'm in agreement that it's a conspiracy, but I totally disagree with it. Who did it? I think the guest is looking in the wrong direction, so it seems highly plausible what he says, but I think that it's just as plausible that Cubans were behind it with the backing of the Soviet Union, because when Oswald went to Russia, the Russians claim he never had anything to do with him, and a so-called Soviet defector, Nastenko, for years, which has been involved with the CIA and FBI, has said that Oswald never had any kind of meaningful contact with the Soviets, but a later defector said that they did have a meaningful contact with the Soviets. Castro had strong ties with the Cubans. He worked for them in Mexico, and I believe he might have been even in Cuba. And I believe that the reason they did it was because Castro had tried to knock off Kennedy had tried to knock off Castro, and just as Gaddafi today now says he's going to be trying to knock off high administration official Reagan administration because he's paranoid that Reagan administration is trying to knock him off. I think it's the same kind of thing. And I think Oswald did this at the backing of the Cubans because of the assassination attempt and the Bay of Pigs invasion, and Castro was afraid there'd be other attempts in the future.
Okay, well, let me stop you, William, because you've done a pretty good job in outlining another theory. Dr. Blakey, could you hear that well enough to respond?
Sure. And the answer is that in two very long chapters in the book, we consider the possibility, for which there is substantial evidence, that the Russians were involved. We also consider the possibility, for which there is substantial evidence, that Castro's Cuba may have been. But after you analyze all the evidence, and I think that's the key thing that you have to do, it is not likely that either Khrushchev's Russia or Castro's Cuba was involved in the assassination.
But I guess the obvious follow-up question would be, what specific evidence do you find that would give stronger credence to the mafia theory as opposed to the Cuban theory?
Well, the answer is straightforward. It's Jack Ruby. Jack Ruby shot Oswald.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hard fact that you have to explain.
And he did not do it for the reasons that he said.
That's right. He didn't do it because he was insane. He didn't do it because he was psychologically imbalanced. He didn't do it because he wanted to have Mrs. Kennedy not have to come back for the trial. All those motives can be eliminated. And when you trace Oswald's connections and Ruby's connections, the common factor is not the Soviet Union, it is not Castro's Cuba, it is organized crime.
Okay, got to move on. Will, thanks for your call. WXYZ News Talk, you're on with Buzz Luttrell.
Hi, Buzz. Henry from Southfield.
Yeah, Henry.
All these theories may be true, but one engineer behind the whole scheme of killing President Kennedy, and that was President Johnson.
Wait,
let me finish, please. President Johnson had the ambition to be president. He knew he was old. The only chance he'd ever get again was to get rid of all the Kennedy because they had a dynasty going on. And all these other things that was included in the murder of the Kennedys could all be true. But the engineer, the ambition to be president was President Johnson.
Henry, where's your evidence? What logic, what shred of evidence do you have that it was Johnson?
You people with the wrong theory, see, but the reason behind it, what happened? Who benefited? Johnson begot his ambition, his lifelong ambition to become president of the United States.
Could easily be coincidental. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this unless you have some shred of evidence, and I don't think you do, so we're going to move on. Thanks, Henry.
No man in his right mind directs a conspiracy to shoot at a motorcade in which he's also riding, and Johnson was in that motorcade. I think it's obscene to suggest that Lyndon Johnson had a hand in President Kennedy's death.
Connally was in the car with Kennedy. Johnson was in the car behind him?
That's correct.
Yeah.
No man in his right mind has rifle fire directed at a motorcade in which he's riding. The Secret Service agents could easily have stood up in Kennedy's car, and they had automatic weapons, and anybody in that plaza could have gotten killed, including Lyndon Johnson.
Well, there are many, many theories, and in a free society, I guess we're obligated to allow them all to be expressed. We're not necessarily obligated to listen to them. Thanks much for the background of that thing. We'll move to our next call. WXYZ, you're on with Buzz Luttrell.
Yes, Buzz. I can't believe all these exercises and that kind of paranoia that are going on here. What I want to do is I'd like to kind of put things in perspective, namely to say that the family of President Kennedy has not put one iota of interest in most of these theories that are going around, and I think for very good reason. I don't think Ted Kennedy is a dummy, and I think he would be very interested in finding out what the true answer is to his brother's death, if there was one. All these theories are going in all different directions. What really bothers me is that the positive things of John F. Kennedy seem to be in the background, and the negative things, namely his death, seem to be in the foreground.
Well, let me ask of you a favor. We don't want to go back and talk about necessarily the positive things that he contributed. The focus of this show is whether or not the mafia was involved in his assassination. So, if you don't mind, we're going to have to move on.
Yeah, well, that's okay. The family has no interest in this thing. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, do me a favor. Give me your name.
People are not dumb.
What is your name again?
Jim from Pontiac.
Okay, Jim. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I want Dr. Blakey to respond to that assertion that you've just made, that the family is not interested or doesn't endorse any of these efforts, and we're going to do that. Hang on just a moment.
Thanks.
WXYZ News Talk time is 7:30, and the WXYZ toll-free lines are open right now for your calls from Livonia, Plymouth, Wayne. The phone is 425-TALK, Detroit, Dearborn, and Grosse Pointe. It's 873-TALK. From Oak Park, Pleasant Ridge, and Royal Oak, it's 353-TALK. Or you can dial the WXYZ talk line nearest your exchange. WXYZ News Talk time again is 7:33. We are talking with Dr. Robert Blakey, the author of the book, The Plot to Kill the President, and let me see if I can bring him back in. You with us, Doctor?
Yes, sir.
Okay, appreciate it. The last caller, Jim from Pontiac, raised the question that I think is very important. What has the Kennedy family response been to your theory in your book?
Sure. Let me say two things on what he said. I do associate myself with the first remark he made. What we ought to remember President Kennedy for was his commitment to a strong America in its national defense and in its economy and for its fair and effective enforcement of the law in such areas as antitrust, civil rights, and organized crime. But I can't agree with him that the Kennedy family accepts the judgment of the Warren Commission. I know that Bobby Kennedy told confidants of his that he was deeply troubled about it, thought that he may one day have to speak out against it, and he himself speculated that the conspiracy had been involved and that either the organized crime or the Cubans had been involved in it. I know I've had conversations with Senator Kennedy. I briefed him periodically during the course of our investigation. I
cannot tell you that he accepts or rejects the Warren Commission's report, nor can I tell you that he endorses our work. I can tell you that he was very interested in it and that he has kept to himself his true feelings about these matters.
Okay. Well, I would think that the record clearly shows that Ted Kennedy has been very silent, has failed to react to any of this stuff in recent times, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, let us move on. We've got lots of folks with lots of questions. Let's go back to our listeners. WXYZ News Talk, Buzz Luttrell.
This is Blanche of Detroit.
Hi, Blanche.
And Mr. Blakely, I would like to make this statement. In New York, on Fifth Avenue, approximation of time, 1 week to 2 weeks, room 319, room 339. 319 guest, a man about 5'6" in height, rotund, florid face, around 70 years old, called the Colonel from Natchez, Mississippi.
Hang on, is this making sense to you, Doctor?
No.
Do you have a question, Blanche, or a comment?
Well, did he know anything about this? Because
no.
This is connected.
Does that description mean anything to him? No, he says.
I know he doesn't, but he should follow it up.
Okay, why don't you put that in a letter and send it to the station, and I'll try to get it to him.
Would you do that?
I sure will.
Okay.
Thank you. Hang on, we'll go to our next caller. WXYZ News Talk, you're on with Buzz Luttrell.
Hello, bud.
Yeah.
Henry from Southfield, the other one.
Yeah, Henry.
I'd like to know, I'm not clear about one thing. On Oswald and Ruby's connection with the mafia, knowing that Oswald had a lot of connection with Cuba and Ruby was pretty palsy with the Dallas Police Department. So that's as far as I know. I'm pretty fuzzy about the rest of it, so I'd like to know.
Well, you know, let me say is that this is obviously a short radio program, and The Plot to Kill the President is 125,000 words long, and there's two chapters, one whole chapter on Oswald and one whole chapter on Ruby, that really lays out the associations in detail. But if you look into Ruby, he was close to a man named Savello, who was the head of the mob in Dallas. Ruby ate dinner the night before the assassination with a man named Joseph Campisi, who was understood to be the number two man in the mob at that time. Campisi also visited him in the jail and was present during his trial. Ruby also had a close association, or reasonably close association, with a man named Santos Traficante.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently was a courier that brought money in and out of Havana when Traficante was held in a detention camp there.
Henry, the chapter on Jack Ruby's background is extremely interesting. I admit I only had time to scan the book, but that was one that took a lot of my attention because it goes all the way back to his early childhood, really, or his early years. Before Jack Ruby went to Dallas from Chicago, he was a big fan. Matter of fact, he was an errand boy for Al Capone.
Sure.
Oswald, though. I don't know about Oswald.
Okay, if you look into Oswald, a boyhood friend of Oswald's, a man who headed a Civil Air Knights patrol unit, a man named David Ferry, knew Oswald when he was a young man, and then when Oswald came back from the Marines, he was with him, that summer. Well, it turns out that David Ferry was an investigator for the lawyer for Carlos Marcello, the head of the mob in New Orleans, and who in fact was on trial on November the 22nd in a criminal case brought against him by the Kennedys. So that the associations are there, and it's from the associations plus the fact of Ruby's assassination of Oswald and the showing of two shooters in the plaza that makes the mob explanation the single best one.
That forms the foundation of that theory. Time is getting away from us, gentlemen. Henry, thanks much for your call. Hang on just a moment. WXYZ News Talk time is 7:38. WXYZ News Talk time is 7:40. I'm Buzz Luttrell, and we're talking with Dr. G. Robert Blakey, author of the book, The Plot to Kill the president. Getting us back into the thick of this investigation, I'd like to move backward just a little bit before we take our next question. You mentioned earlier on when you were asked to serve on the House Select Committee to investigate the assassinations that you were concerned about, one, how much latitude you would have to pursue the truth, and two, what kind of tools you would have. You mentioned that you were following, by that time, a cold trail, what, 76, 13 years after the fact, the assassination. You also mentioned that you lacked the legal tools necessary, you thought, or you thought you might lack the legal tools necessary to conduct a wide-ranging investigation. And then you said it was not clear whether you would be permitted to inspect the files of government agencies such as the FBI and the CIA. Were you, in fact, given that kind of access?
Yes. We had unprecedented access to government files, both in the FBI and the CIA. We had what's called unredacted access. Nothing was excised in the FBI and in the CIA when we asked them specifically for it. So that nothing was held back from us, and in terms of congressional investigations, I don't think there's any other that can say that.
Was that, in fact, the access or the information that brought your attention again more fully to the involvement of the mafia in the efforts, the plots to overthrow Castro?
No, that came principally from the Church Committee in the Senate that looked into those plots, although we retraced their steps and asked the question whether there could have been any relationship between those plots and Castro. Of course, we traveled to Cuba and dealt with the Cuban government and, with due circumspect, accepted from them a great deal of evidence. And no other committee had done that. No other private investigators had done that. So we believe that, with some exceptions, not material, the Cuban government cooperated with us.
So you had a very good chance to explore any possible connection between the Cubans and the assassination. Going back to that earlier question we had from, I think it was Jim and Pontiac, I think.
That's true. Yeah. I think we talked to more people, and many of them were people who were not talked to by the FBI or the Warren Commission in the 1960s. So I think that while we weren't an investigation without limits, either of time, money, or talent, I think we did, particularly on the issue of the possible involvement by the government in the assassination, exhaust the reasonable leads in a reasonable fashion.
I should remind our listeners out there that you spent 2 years and $5 million in pursuit of the truth of this, behind the assassination. By the way, before I make an enemy out there, that was not Jim from Pontiac, but that was William from Detroit, who suggested that the Cubans were behind the conspiracy. Just go back to our telephone lines. WXYZ, you're on with Buzz Luttrell.
Greetings, Buzz, and to your guests. During the time of the Kennedy assassination, I was a Green Beret. We really appreciated him because he allowed us to keep our berets. Now, I always felt there had been a conspiracy, but I do know that the Mafia and the CIA have worked together on other projects. And these conspirators or shooters have the influence and they have the cooperation of the highest levels and officers in our country. So, I mean, this is like a brick wall you're banging your head into.
Wait a minute. Well, your name, first of all, where are you calling from?
Bob from Detroit. I'm sorry.
Bob from where?
Detroit.
Okay, Bob. You're saying that that because the Mafia and the CIA work so closely together that if there was a connection that it would have been obscured?
There certainly was, because of the influence they have in this country. Not just with the street levels, but they have the higher office levels. They work together on projects overseas.
So you buy Dr. Blakey's thesis?
Most certainly. And I feel also that he would be familiar with the same nucleus of conspirators, having engineered the demise of Robert Kennedy using a trigger man named Fain Eugenio Cesar. And the Cubans, he was a Cuban, but not from Cuba per se. I mean, he was an American-trained Cuban, as the CIA had a lot of these fellows with him.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he was a trigger man, not Cesar, who was just a patsy, like Oswald was.
Dr. Blakey?
Well, I can't agree that there's any evidence or substantial evidence that the CIA had a hand in President Kennedy's death. And Well, I do acknowledge, indeed, we established that the CIA and the Mafia entered into a conspiracy to kill Castro. That certainly was not a permanent alliance, and it certainly does not make the CIA responsible for everything the Mafia does, or the Mafia responsible for everything the CIA does. I think it was a marriage of convenience aimed at Castro, and it did not extend beyond it. At least that's what the evidence I saw, and we certainly had access, I thought, to a reasonable spread of it, indicated.
Kennedy knows there was a conspiracy, and yet he values his life.
Well, I think you overstated there. It's very obvious that Ted Kennedy values his life. I don't think that he thinks he's in danger from the CIA or the American government.
If he valued his life to that extent, he certainly wouldn't be considering another run for the president, nor would he presidency, nor would he have run or pursued it this last time.
I think Senator Kennedy, to the degree that he's concerned, is concerned that, not that he will be the victim of a conspiracy, but of a deranged person.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks much for your call, Bob. Thanks for the input. WXYZ News Talk, here with Buzz Luttrell and Dr. Blakey.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I read the book called Appointment in Dallas. I wish I could remember the author, but I don't.
A man named McDonald.
Very interesting.
Appointment in Dallas?
Yes.
What is the appointment of your name?
Oh, sorry. My name is Maria.
Hi, Maria. Where are you calling from?
From Detroit.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. Well, anyway, it was Appointment in Dallas, and I don't know, I just heard this, that it was taken off the shelf. Now, I don't know if that's true.
No.
But it had a picture of the man called Saul, S-A-U-L,
sure,
that had killed Kennedy, and a reporter, the one that wrote this book, actually had talked to the man that killed Kennedy. But he said that he would be killed instantly if he gave the real, you know, the real information of everything. He couldn't, he said he could be killed tomorrow, instantly.
Sure.
He would have been killed.
We looked into that book.
He says, pardon?
See, we looked into that book and talked to the people involved and came to the conclusion that there was no truth in that book at all, that it was basically nonsense. Rejected it out of hand.
Who was the author of that book again?
Well, I think I have the author. I have it written down somewhere, but I just don't have it right offhand.
It's a man named McDonald.
And he did not have the valid kind of credentials you expect from someone who...
No, and the book wasn't taken off the shelves for a sinister reason. It was taken off because people didn't want to read it anymore.
Because they didn't want people to read this book to know the truth. Now, I'm just saying that's the way I was told. But it also said that Oswald, they even had this also in the paper I read one time, that Oswald had been to Russia.
Oh, that's true.
And so they naturally, you know, figured on the communists and so forth were in on that. And this is another reason why he was killed, you know, that he knew a lot. And he was killed because he knew too much and he'd really tell the truth. But actually, Oswald did not do the firing. This other man was actually in another building and was supposed to kill Kennedy himself. But he couldn't because the men did not fire back, the agents, you know, secret agents.
Sure.
And if he did, then they would know there was another person firing.
The only problem with that theory is that we analyzed the sound in the plaza and traced the bullets themselves right back to Oswald's window and Oswald's gun. So that there indeed was another man in the plaza. He was behind the fence. He was not up in another building. And the person who killed John Kennedy was Lee Harvey Oswald.
Okay. Maria, thanks much for your call. Got to move on. What we're going to talk about in just a moment is the sensitive equipment that they use to trace those sounds. I think people might be interested in how really sensitive they are. Hang on. WXYZ News Talk time is 7:48, and the WXYZ toll-free lines are open right now from Southfield, Berkeley, and Beverly Hills, 353-TALK. From Livonia, Canton, and Garden City, 425-TALK. From Detroit, Allen Park, and Dearborn, 873-TALK. Or you can dial the WXYZ talk line nearest your exchange. WXYZ News Talk time is 7:50. Buzz Luttrell here talking with Dr. G. Robert Blakey, the author of the book, The Plot to Kill the President. Dr. Blakey, one thing that really kind of bothers me, I guess, is that in spite of the logic behind your theory, in spite of the clear connections between Kennedy and the Mafia, I don't see the clear connection, as some of the other listeners haven't, between the Mafia and Oswald. I know that he had some affiliation, but how did they actually get to him? They didn't arrange this because, as you say yourself, he was kind of an unwitting dupe.
Well, he was an unwitting dupe in the sense that I don't think he understood the character of the assassination conspiracy that he got into. But he was not an unwitting dupe in the sense that he was not a participant in the president's death. It's very clear, in my judgment, that he was the trigger man who ultimately killed Kennedy. This is one of the things that I don't think we know with the highest degree of confidence. This is not like the fact of the conspiracy or the probability of the mobs being involved. But it's my judgment that Oswald's basic character was that of a left-wing Marxist who acted in behalf of ideology. And to understand why he would have gotten into a conspiracy to kill Kennedy, I think you have to see a Cuban connection. Oswald had a great deal of respect for Castro, and it's my judgment that he was contacted by Cubans in the weeks before the assassination and enlisted by them in a Cuban-based assassination conspiracy against the president.
Oh, so then you don't completely reject Williams?
I'm not suggesting that it was a real Castro-Cuban. I think that there were Cubans connected to Santos Trafficante.
You're saying that the arms of the mafia are long and tenacious and that they can get to you through many different...
There is a man named John Roselli who's a mob figure from Chicago and Las Vegas, and who told Jack Anderson shortly before he died that it was Cubans connected to Santos Trafficante who were involved in the president's death along with Oswald. And we do know that Oswald was seen with a number of Spanish or Mexican or Cuban-looking people that summer. There's a photograph of him, for example, in New Orleans passing out pro-Castro literature.
Yeah.
One of the two people with him, obviously of Latin American extraction,
okay,
was never identified.
Let me suggest, too, that for those who might be interested in your book, you mentioned photos. There are some very, very interesting and elucidating photos in the book concerning not only the assassination of John F. Kennedy, but a number of mafia figures that you contend were involved in this thing. It gives a very interesting history of their relationships, too. So don't mean to push the book on you folks, but I found it quite interesting just breezing through the thing, having heard a number of different theories. This thing certainly engages your attention. Only a few minutes left. Let's go back to our telephone lines and take a couple calls from our listeners. WXYZ, you're on with Buzz Luttrell and Dr. Blakey.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Buzz. You have a good show. Dr. Blakey, I agree with you, I would say, about 80% of what your thesis is, but if Kennedys were connected with the mafia, I wonder why Robert Kennedy prosecuted Hoffa so vehemently, and maybe that was because after the fact he found out or he had feelings of what you're saying is true, which I do believe is true, because as Buzz said, that their arms are long and tenacious, and they have far-reaching, and in the Cuban connection, I don't believe it's the communist Cubists that they had connections with. I will come to a question in a second.
Okay, real quickly.
Real quick, okay. My question is to you, Dr. Blakey. If John F. Kennedy was killed by the mafia, which has not been proven yet, but which I believe, how come the CIA and whatever arms of other of government have all, how do I put this, kind of, what makes me even more believe it is to throw the onus of a belief as communist or as...
You're losing us here. Are you saying why have all these other agencies covered up that fact?
Right.
Go ahead, Dr. Blakey.
Right. Well, it's a very complicated answer. I think what happened is that they made a judgment in 1963 and 64 that Oswald acted alone, and now they have been institutionally unwilling to admit their mistake. The reasons why they made the judgment in 1963 and 64 didn't go to so much covering up the... not revealing certain things about themselves. For example, the CIA was unwilling to reveal the fact of the CIA mafia plots. The FBI was unwilling to reveal that they had had major figures of organized crime under electronic surveillance.
You know, Dr. Blakey, I think the bottom line there is that institutions or agencies, just like individuals, us, do not like to admit it when we've made a mistake. It's as simple as that.
That's what it is. Yeah. I don't see anything sinister in it. I think it's all too human, but nonetheless unjustifiable.
Okay, next question. WXYZ, you're on with Buzz Luttrell.
Yes.
Your name?
My name is Alan from Detroit.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, why was Hoffa bumped off? A lot of people don't know.
Do you want to get into that?
The book, in its consideration of the history of organized crime in the 1960s, in fact, takes up the death of Jimmy Hoffa and suggests that he was, in fact, killed by organized crime, principally because he was making an effort to reestablish his power in the Teamsters. And Hoffa would then have threatened the hold that the Teamsters have or the mob has over the Teamsters' welfare and pension funds.
No.
The reason why Hoffa was killed is very similar to the reason why Jack Kennedy was killed. Jack Kennedy threatened the mob through criminal prosecution. Ironically, Jimmy Hoffa promised to clean up the Teamsters Union, and therefore he threatened them in their money.
Okay. Let us move on. A couple quick questions. Al, thanks much for your call. We only have a couple seconds left here. Questions that might be on the minds of a number of listeners out there, I would think. Number one is, how can you feel safe writing a book that, again, accuses the mafia of complicity in the assassination when they might just as well that this be glossed over and forgotten?
But you know, Buzz, I'm not a threat to them. I'm not a witness that's going to testify in court. I'm not a prosecutor capable of bringing an indictment. What I'm saying to the American people is that my president and yours, 18 years ago, was killed by the mob, and that they got away with it. What I'm doing is certifying their power and influence in our society.
So in effect, you could be helping them frighten other people into submission.
The irony of it is, by telling the truth about Dallas, I am helping the mob. I am not harming them.
Yeah, because others would be less willing to come forward if they think that the mob really is that powerful or will go to those lengths to achieve their ends.
If they could kill Kennedy and get away with it, who couldn't they kill and get away with it?
Oh, lots of other interesting questions that could come out of this, I guess. One of which would be, do you think that the mob was involved at all in the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy?
Let me say, I didn't before I started the investigation. I now have no evidence to believe that they were. But let me say is that I have begun to read the literature around Robert Kennedy's death, and I am deeply disturbed by the unanswered questions.
Sure, I would think that if they were angry with John F. Kennedy for his three or four transgressions, they would be doubly angry because Bobby was the man who implemented the investigation.
I mean, they did it. Yeah. I mean, they could have been planning to kill him, and Sirhan did it on his own and beat them to it. What I haven't seen is the connection between Sirhan and mob or mob-connected figures. If I saw that, things would fall in place, and I probably would begin to change my mind about Bob Kennedy's death.
Okay, Doctor, thank you very much. One final quick question, and you might have to talk while I'm cutting you off here. If Kennedy mounted a very effective offensive against the mob, could Reagan do the same thing?
Sure, if he wanted to.
Do you think that's in the cards?
No. He's cutting. The FBI today has 6% less people than they did in 63. Reagan is cutting the Drug Enforcement Administration by 12%. I don't think this administration is going to fight organized crime.
Okay, Doctor, thanks much for your time. I got to get off here in about 7 seconds.
Sure,
appreciate your taking the time to talk with us tonight. Take care.